Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another edition of Plus 49. My name is Irida Arteaga, and thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you also for all your likes, your hearts, your shares, your subscriptions to the Morning Espresso. It's a great way to start your day. And of course, thank you so much for listening to us. This is, and you are the reason why we're doing this. So please keep sharing your stories, keep sharing your anecdotes about living in Germany, and keep listening to us. And of course, we're open for all sorts of suggestions, criticism, opinions, whatever it is. This is your space as well. Also, thank you so much to Ruf Ruf. She's our new producer, and without her, this wouldn't be possible. Let's start today with a couple of stories that are making headlines in Germany. We're going to be talking about the TV tax, or Rundfunkgebühr, also about the Deutsche Bahn releasing its Christmas timetable with faster routes and more frequent trains. I'm suggesting here that you make a bet with one of your closest friends, and every time the Deutsche Bahn does not come pünktlich or on time, they have to give you Glühwein or something like that. Or maybe you can bet for the Deutsche Bahn and maybe you will get the Glühweins for free. And forecasters are giving us an early idea of how cold this winter might get. Later in the show, I will be joined by Henning Wehmeyer. He is the managing director of Berlin 2035. He's going to be talking about why bringing the World Fair to Berlin. And maybe it's not only an ambitious dream, it can also become the major turning point for the city. And in our cultural corner, we'll do something hands-on, a bit of basteln, crafting, with autumn leaves, pine cones, and the colors of the season. Plus, we also have Hermann the German and Ask a German. Well, we're going to be tackling the questions that crosses every expat's mind at least once. Why do Germans always say no so fast? So, let's jump in. Let's start with a story that might catch the attention of anyone living in Germany, especially those who have ever grumbled about the Rundfunkbeitrag, the public broadcasting fee. A new ruling from Germany's Federal Administrative Court has set an interesting precedent. A woman from Bavaria argued that public broadcasters like ARD, ZDF, and Deutschlandradio weren't fulfilling their constitutional duty to reflect a diversity of opinions. And for the first time, the court acknowledged that there is a legal path for refusing to pay the monthly €18.36 fee. But proving your case would be almost impossible. Residents would need to show long-term, system-wide failures across all public broadcasters, not just programs they personally disagree with. So, while the door is technically open, it is a very narrow one. In other words, that monthly fee is likely here to stay. Meanwhile, if you're already thinking about your holiday plans, well, Deutsche Bahn has some news for you. The rail company has released its new winter timetable and opened ticket sales for the 2025 Christmas season. Starting in mid-December, passengers can look forward to faster and more frequent ICE services, including new sprinter routes that will cut travel times between Berlin and Stuttgart to under 5 hours. There will also be more connections every 30 minutes between major cities, plus extended routes to Belgium, Denmark, Poland, and Switzerland. Travel experts are advising passengers to book early, especially if you're hunting down for those super Sparpreise tickets. The best deals tend to disappear fast, especially once December rolls around. And speaking of December, forecasters are already turning their eyes on winter. After a mild and sunny autumn, colder weather is expected from mid-November with a frosty start to both December and February. So we didn't have the very warm summer, but we might get the very cold and hopefully also snowy winter. The first snow is likely to arrive in southern Germany, no wonder there, in Bavaria and Baden-Württemberg by mid-November, with most of the country seeing flakes in mid-December. Northern regions, including part of Lower Saxony and Schleswig-Holstein, might have to wait until January to get their first snow. So if you've been enjoying the golden leaves and long autumn walks, make the most of them while you can. Winter is definitely on its way. We're already in the middle of autumn. We already heard that winter is coming as well. And there's something that Germans do that they love, and that is their love for basteln or crafting. And this is the time where that really comes to life. Autumn is the perfect season for it. You just have to step outside, and the parks are full of inspiration. Golden leaves, acorns, chestnuts, and some pine cones, just waiting to be turned into something beautiful. For many families, basteln is more than just an activity for kids. It's a cozy ritual, a way to slow down and bring a little bit of the outdoor inside. On rainy afternoons, you will find kitchen tables across the country covered with paper, glue, and twine as people create garlands of pressed leaves, little pine cone animals, or candle holders decorated with bark and moss. You don't have to spend so much time to get started. Most of the materials come straight from the nature, and that's the part of the charm. The results are often wonderful and perfect, handmade pieces that feel personal, full of warmth, and uniquely yours. Craft stores do their part too, stocking up on autumn ribbons, dry flowers, and decorative moss. But really, the German spirit of basteln is known about its simplicity. No Pinterest here. It's finding beauty in small natural things and turning them into reminders of the season. So if you just moved to Germany or you're looking for a creative way to embrace the colder months, then grab a blanket, take a walk, and see what the forest offers. You can come home with the markings of a breath, a centerpiece, or just a little something that makes your home feel warmer. Because that's what basteln is all about, slowing down, getting creative, and finding joy in the everyday magic of autumn. And by the way, don't forget that ice dipping season is almost around the corner. This week's question comes from something many newcomers notice right away. Why do Germans say no so quickly? And here is what Hermann the German is answering. You ask a question, maybe something small like, can we meet tomorrow? And before you've even finished, the answer is already a firm nein. No hesitation, no polite maybe, no. Soft landing. But there's a thing. It's not rudeness. In Germany, saying no is actually a form of honesty. It is about clarity. Germans like to be direct because it saves everyone the time and avoid misunderstandings. A quick no doesn't always mean rejection. It means not like this or not right now. It is also cultural. In German communication, certainty is valued over ambiguity. People prefer to say what they mean, even if it sounds blunt to outsiders. And in many cases, that no is simply the starting point for negotiation. So instead of taking it personally, try asking a follow-up question. How can I make this possible? Or when would be a better time? You might find that once the conditions are clear, that initial no turns into a yes. In other words, a German no is rarely the end of the story. It's just the beginning of a very well-organized conversation. And that's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. A huge thank you to Henning Wehmeyer from Berlin 2035 for joining us and sharing his vision on how a World Expo could help shape Berlin's future. If you enjoyed today's story, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, Morning Espresso, every day on your email for free. The biggest news of Germany in English for you. Once again, I'm Sigrid Arteaga. Thank you for listening, And we'll be back next week with more news, culture, and conversations from Germany. Until then, wrap up warm, maybe light a candle, and enjoy the magic of Germany in autumn. Hasta la próxima. You have probably seen by now a couple of pianos in the middle of different plazas here in Berlin, and people are enjoying them as much as I've ever seen. And they go down, they start playing, and of course, as someone that comes from Latin America, I feel very scared for their health. Because if we would have done this in Mexico, they would probably not even survive 1 hour. But here people are enjoying them. And if you go closer to them, you will see that these pianos say they're from Berlin 2035. And the question here is, what is Berlin 2035? And for that, we have the managing director, Henning Wehmeyer, and he's here. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me here. My name is Henning Wehmeyer, as you said, and I am the managing director of Expo 2035 Berlin GmbH. I've been living here and working here in Berlin for many years, and I also studied here in Berlin, and this city shaped me deeply. What drives me most is the belief that Berlin has a unique power to connect future optimism with citizen participation in every aspect of daily life. So the 17 pianos are one expression of that.
What do they mean, the 17 pianos?
They stand for the 17 global goals of the United Nations, and each piano for one of those necessary global goals of the United Nations.
Do you play piano?
I play piano, yes, and I'm a musician on the one hand, and on the other hand, I studied politics here in Berlin.
Wow, that's a very interesting mix. And you have played in these pianos.
Yes, of course. And it's really nice to see people coming around and playing these pianos.
Tell me, what is Berlin 2035?
At the heart of this entire initiative lies the non-profit organization Global Goals für Berlin e.V. It connects people, institutions, and companies across the city to the 17 Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. It forms the civic foundation of our work, empowering citizens to participate in transformation and to translate global goals into local action.
That's a beautiful thing, local action. We know that it is a very important thing, that even though if we are very local, we're still global, and then on the other side we're global and then very local. And there is this Weltausstellungen, so yes, this World Expos, and in 2035 Berlin is gonna be the capital for it.
Yeah, and the concept of Expo 2035 Berlin differs from previous world exhibitions. It's designed by multi-central concept, an exhibition that takes place everywhere in the city and needs more than one location. It needs connection between people, between spaces and places in Berlin, and the 17 pianos all over the city are one first step to connect people with culture, with music, to debate on these places, on Potsdamer Platz or on Naturkundemuseum or on 17 different places all over the city. And to our international listeners, diplomats, partners, and friends from around the world, Berlin's vision for the Expo 2035 is not only a project for Germany, but a platform for global cooperation. We believe that the World Exhibition in the heart of Europe can become a place where nations come together to exchange solutions, not only for technology and the economy, but for peace, justice, and sustainability. The city of Berlin has a very special story to tell. Emerging from the dark chapters of the early 20th century, Berlin has become a city of transformation, a place to learn how to turn division into connection and walls into bridges. It is a city that embodies freedom and diversity, and that continually redefines itself as a home for dialogue, openness, and trust. This transformation for hardship to renewal, from separation to solidarity, makes Berlin a powerful symbol of what our global community needs today.
Such a beautiful and powerful thing to say, that music is a connection between cultures and identities, and especially in a city where we're so many internationals here, and this is our home now. So yes, it will be awesome to have also other countries coming here and experiencing the beautiful Berlin that we all have come to love and enjoy every single day. But tell us a little bit more about the initiative and what's coming.
Yes, the idea of a multi-centric world exhibition is deeply linked to Berlin itself. Of course, there will be a central site, a main venue where nations present themselves in pavilions, but we want also to activate the city and the neighborhoods, the spaces, the people. And the idea is that in every district of Berlin there will be pavilions and showcases for local projects, and the expo in 2035 in Berlin aims to make visible what already exists: balconies, solar panels, or swimming in the river Spree, from small projects to big projects all over the city.
I think we're all very excited about the project of swimming again in the Spree. This is something we have seen a lot and talked a lot. Hopefully we'll have a beautiful summer. But for how many days, how many months, how long is this expo going to be?
So a world expo, the big expos every 5 years, they last 6 months. And maybe from April, May to October, November 2035, there will be the World Expo here in Berlin, hopefully. But therefore, we need several steps to come to this big event in 10 years, because the World Expos, they are given from the Bureau International des Expositions in Paris.
Oh, wow. So at the moment, we're pushing towards Berlin becoming the place for 2035.
That's right.
Who are we betting against?
First of all, World Expos, they exist since 1851. Mm-hmm. London, you know, Boston, Paris, Brussels.
Hannover
in the year 2000, yes. And maybe Berlin is the second city in Germany hosting the World Expo in 10 years. A milestone this year was our visit to the Bureau International des Expositions, BIE, in Paris, the intergovernmental organization that oversees all world exhibitions. In June this year, I had the privilege to meet Secretary General Dimitri Kerkensis for an inspiring exchange about Berlin's vision to host a World Expo in 2035. To our knowledge, this is the first civil society-driven initiative in the world to propose a concept for a world exhibition in a major metropolitan region like Berlin-Brandenburg. And that's really interesting, because before, only nations or government delegations, present their initiatives in Paris. It's the first time driven by a civil society initiative, and that's really great. The response was very positive. It showed that Berlin can give new impulses beyond the mid-century, proving that cities are the pulsating centers of innovation, social justice, and ecological transformation. Especially now, in times of geopolitical tension, social stability, civic trust, and international cooperation are the true engines of progress.
What is your favorite part about Berlin?
My favorite part is the whole city. It's unique because it's in every street you can have another feeling of the city, another atmosphere or another people meeting in the streets, and that's really great in Berlin.
And what brought you to the idea of doing this project?
I think civil society has to manage the future together with politics and administration, because we need the power of participation. And I think there are many projects, small projects, big projects in the city where we can make people feeling they can do something for the future, for the city, in every part, you know, children and elder people, they are really inspiring the city, and they are making the future of our togetherness.
What would you expect once we have everybody here, if we have a 2035?
Mm-hmm.
What would be for you the biggest outcome of it?
From now on, we have 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and we have to transform our city in several parts. Mobility is a big theme, health, mental health, and I think Berlin has everything to transform in a positive way and to mobilize civil society, to have the opportunity being the host city for the World Expo, and then we celebrate together here in Berlin what's possible, and what's possible in the second half of the 21st century, to show that on the one hand we have the geopolitical thing, it's war, it's vielleicht kann man das auch ausschneiden. We have on the other hand the global goals and the themes of sustainability, and I think everybody in the world has to see that we only can manage the future together. We have to work together all over the planet, and here in Berlin we can discuss how to manage the future. Over 190 nations can meet here, and in 6 months, as I said, we are able to discuss on a humanity-based motivation how we can make it together happen.
Were you in Hanover for the 2000 World Expo?
Yeah, I was 19 years old, and I was there after I finished my school. I was 3 times there, and it was really, really interesting and impressive because it's a festival. It's a festival of cultures, a festival of humanity, of future, and the theme was Mensch, Natur, Technik, a new world will come, more or less. And it was, in the year 2000, maybe optimistic energy in the world, 10 years after the reunion of Germany. And the city, Hanover, celebrates interesting, not in Berlin, but in Hanover, I think this theme, what could be the millennium.
The beginning of millennial, and we feel like it's just a couple of days before, and now we're almost heading into 2050, which is interesting, especially since we're talking to millennials, thinking that there's already a generation alpha and beta coming. So I'm kind of feeling sometimes very old, but that's another thing. What would be for you the main message that you want to give your kids?
I have 3 kids, and in my opinion, it's necessary to show them that you have to be open, you have to engage yourself for the society. You can make your dreams come true, and you can show that small steps can bring us together. And I think humanity is the most necessary thing for now and for the future. And in my opinion, it's possible to change the world, more or less, if you can accept that everybody is different. And in maybe in 10 years here in Berlin, we can show that diversity brings solutions for many things we cannot solve now, but in the future. And we are united in this diversity.
Henning Seemeyer, thank you so much for being here with us today. And we really hope that Berlin 2035 happens. And of course, we're going to be more than happy to welcome all of the international people here to this beautiful city. On a side note, it was very important for us to have this conversation about how we're opening our beautiful city to the world, especially because of the politics of over the last couple of weeks or week. And without going into it, I think one of the main things that we do have, and not only in Berlin, but in this country, is that we are here welcome, and that the ones that we're here, we fight a lot to bring also our cultures, but also integrate. And for that, I'm always very hopeful for the future, and especially this sort of actions help us to create, somehow the new integration. I mean, my grandmother was from Germany. Then she went to Mexico. I was born in Mexico, and I'm coming back. And my grandmother went to Germany, to Mexico, and brought her culture with her. And now I'm bringing part of her culture and my Mexico to Berlin. So it's kind of a mix, and I don't think the future will only be so as it was last 60 years. And of course, having a World Expo here would be the perfect drop on this ocean of a lot of people, and hopefully we'll all be there to celebrate it and swimming in the Spree as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.